My dear brothers and sisters, the Lord is risen. He is truly risen. Alleluia. Today is the seventh Sunday of the Easter season, and I want to begin my reflections by making a confession to you. Some of you have heard this confession before, but last Thursday was the first time in 36 years that I celebrated Ascension Thursday. What do you think of that? And the reason for it is there are very few dioceses in the country that celebrate Ascension Thursday on Thursday. The ones in New England and in New York and the Pennsylvania region and Omaha, Nebraska, celebrate the Ascension on Thursday. The rest of the Church in the United States celebrates it today. So we're one of the very few dioceses in the country that's celebrating the seventh Sunday of Easter. I think it's better that we have Ascension Thursday than Ascension Sunday, because that's, you know, it happened 10 days before the Feast of Pentecost that Jesus ascended into heaven, and that would be on Thursday, not Sunday. But several years ago, you know, about 40 years ago, the bishops of our country decided that, most of them decided to move it to Sunday because you didn't go to church on holy days. And the Ascension is such an important feast that they wanted you to celebrate it, so they moved it to Sunday. Now, of course, people don't go to church on Sunday either. So we get caught regardless of what's going on, because the problem is a lack of faith in our communities, whether it's on Sunday or on Thursday. So this is the first time in 36 years that I'll be preaching on the scripture readings we have today, because usually it was Ascension, the Ascension readings. And I'm very happy to do that because today's readings are very, very important. We must remember that in the Easter season, the Church gives us readings to teach us how to be the Church. And there are three important dimensions of the Church that we have to keep in mind all the time and repeatedly teach ourselves. For us to be the Church founded by Jesus Christ, we must essentially do three things: to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly and without compromise. That's the first thing. Second thing is to be a community of people who love one another, support one another, and build up one another. That's the second essential part of what it means to be the Church. And the third important dimension of what it means to be a Church is that we give ourselves enthusiastically to the mission of the Church: to preach the gospel and to care for the poor and the hungry and those who have great needs, whether they're members of our church or not. So in the Easter season, especially, we need to examine our conscience on whether or not this parish, whatever parish you might belong to, is everything that Jesus wants his church to be: to preach the gospel without compromise, to believe in the Lord Jesus, to build up the community of believers, and to be in mission, especially to care for the poor. So let's look at today's scripture readings with those principles in mind. Our first reading is a passage from the Acts of the Apostles, from the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, where Peter and the other apostles are gathered in the upper room where Jesus had celebrated his Last Supper with his friends in order to replace Judas, the apostle who had betrayed the Lord and who went off and hung himself. Why was it important for him to be replaced? Might be a question that you and I have. Why did Jesus choose 12 apostles and not just 11? And the answer to that is Jesus signified by choosing 12 apostles that his community was to include all the people of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. So it was very important for Peter and the others to find someone to replace Judas. And so the reading begins by telling us Peter stood up in the midst of the brothers. There was a group of about 120 persons in the one place, and he said, and he gives his homily. Now, it's important to notice that already in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, that Peter is acting as the head of the community, the head of the church. You know, some Christians say that the Catholic notion of the successor of St. Peter being in some ways responsible for the whole church is our imagination. But we see already in the very first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Peter taking control, taking charge. And in our own day, we believe that the successor of St. Peter, who is the Pope, has that same responsibility in leadership in the church. Okay. We learn from this reading that the first Christian community was very small, about 120 members. I don't think there's quite, well, maybe there's 120 people here tonight. So this was about the size of the church right before the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. How many members are there in our church today? Well, we have statistics that tell us that today there's somewhere between 1.2 and 1.3 billion Catholics in the world. And if you add the Protestant Christians and the Orthodox Christian, you add another billion people. So we are, out of 7 billion people in the world, 2.3 or 4 billion, which is heading toward, it's a third of all the people in the world, and then some. So our church has grown a lot since the days described in this reading. And so Peter got up, and what did he do? He did two things. He quoted from the scriptures, and then he led the community in prayer. And we learn two important things about the church community, that our church is led not only by Peter, but more importantly, by the scriptures. The scriptures are the word of God, not a collection of the wise saying of men and women, but truly the word of God. And right from the start, the church submits itself to the teachings of the scriptures. And we believe that's true today. There can be nothing in the teachings of the church contrary to the scriptures, to the word of God. It's a precious gift given to us that we treasure and we protect. And a question we need to ask ourselves as we reflect on what it means to be church is, do we today love and respect the scriptures as the word of God in our lives? Do you have a Bible at home? More importantly, do you read it? It's the word of God. And just as Peter and the community submitted themselves to the word of God, it's important that you and I submit ourselves to the word of God in our time. The second thing that Peter did after consulting the scriptures was to lead the community in prayer. And it's so important for us to be women and men of prayer. If the church doesn't pray, the church isn't the church. Because prayer is an act of submission to God and an acknowledgement of God as the Lord, the Creator, the Ruler, and the Redeemer of our lives. So we have to ask ourselves, are we a church through praise? That's why we have an obligation to come to Mass on Sunday, so that we might demonstrate that we are people of prayer. I mean, at one time, the people of the church asked, what's the minimum thing that I have to do to be a good Catholic? Well, minimally, you have to go to church on Sunday. So if you don't go to church on Sunday, you are not a good Catholic. You might be a good person, but you're not a faithful Catholic. And we've gone a long way from that. You know, it used to be that 75%, 80% of Catholics went to church on Sunday. In the country, it's about 31, 32% today. And unfortunately, in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, it's in the 20%. And there's some parishes where only 10% of our people go to church on Sunday. If we don't go to church, if we don't pray together, we're not the church that God wants us to be. And there were two people who the community had discerned could take the place of Judas. And there were two requirements that Peter lists in order to be chosen to be one of the 12 apostles. And this is what he said. It is necessary that one of the men who accompanied us the whole time the Lord Jesus came and went among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day on which he was taken up from us, become with us a witness to his resurrection. So in order to be an apostle, they had to know Jesus from the time of his baptism by John through his death, resurrection, and ascension to the Father. They had to know Jesus. They had to know his teachings, all of his teachings. and to be part of the communion of a brotherhood, Jesus, when Jesus gathered the community together. And then secondly, they had to be witnesses of his resurrection. So if we want to look at ourselves to see if we kind of match up with the requirements of the early church, those two dimensions should be in some sense part of our lives, that we have to know Jesus. We of course can't know him as Matthias and the others knew him because they walked with him, but we can know him in the scriptures and in prayer. And an essential part of being a Catholic is to know Jesus, not just to be formally a member of the church, not just to go to church on Sunday, but to personally know and love the Lord and his teachings in our lives. And then, in addition to that, to be witnesses of his resurrection. What does it mean to be a witness? You know, we have someone as a witness in court, as somebody who has an experience and who can relate that experience clearly to others. Someone who knows personally what has happened. In order for us to be truly the church, we have to be a community of witnesses. It's interesting that in the early church, after the resurrection of Jesus, the followers of Jesus were not called his disciples so much as his witnesses, because they knew from their own experience the risen Lord. Do I know Jesus risen from the dead? Does he enliven our lives? And are we able to witness to that reality in our relationship with others? Or are we timid and afraid? We use the excuse we don't want to embarrass others, when the truth of the matter is we just don't want to be embarrassed ourselves much of the time. So we ask the Lord Jesus to help us not only know him, but to be his witnesses in the world today. Okay, so we've looked at the reading from the Acts of the Apostles. It's also important for us to look at the other two readings to get the lessons of these readings for our lives as Catholics today. Our second reading today is from the first letter of St. John. And in this reading, St. John tells us that if we're going to be the church today, we have to embody in our lives love. Now that sounds like an ordinary Christian reflection, and it is. But the problem is, so often today, we really don't know what love means. And the kind of love that, when we talk about love, we don't mean what the scriptures mean by love. When I think of this, I remember my mother, who lived to be 97 years old. And in the 1970s and 80s, she had a difficult time with the church. And the reason she had a difficult time with the church is sometimes the preachers of the church would only talk about love. I mean, I remember her saying to me, love, 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 love. That's all they talk about in church today. Why don't they talk about following the commandments? Why don't they talk about following the laws of the church regarding the liturgy? Why don't they talk about justice? Why is it always love, love, love? You know, and I think my mother was right, because if we're going to really love, we're going to keep Jesus' commandments. Because love is not a soft and mushy thing for Catholics. Love for us is a serious commitment to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And we learn that in today's second reading. St. John says to us, beloved, if God so loved us, we must also love one another. And so when Christians talk about love, they talk about loving one another in the same way that God loves us, which is not simply a matter of words, but clearly a matter of actions, because Jesus loved us to the point of giving himself in love on the cross for us, dying for us because he loved us. And we're told in this reading that we are supposed to, in our own lives, in our relationships with one another, love one another in that same kind of way. And that's the second part of what it means to be a member of the church, that this is truly a community of love. So do you see the church that way? Or do you see the church as an organization? Is it enough for people who love one another just to show up on Sunday and kind of shake hands with one another, the greeting of peace, but not really care for one another beyond that? You know, sometimes when we come to a church like the cathedral, which is not very many people's real parish, we don't know each other and our relationships aren't very deep. But it should be part of our life as Catholics to find a community of believers where we truly can care and love for one another. And that's what the church is about, that we love one another after the fashion of God and more deeply into the love of God. Today's gospel reading is from the Gospel of St. John. And this is a passage from the night before Jesus died, where he gathered his apostles in the upper room to celebrate the Lord's Supper with them. And in the course of that time, he prayed to God about his community, about the church. And that's what he's doing in this passage today. It begins by saying, Jesus, lifting up his eyes to heaven, prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. I mean, that may sound simple, but it's really quite a complex thought. Because he takes us to the mystery of the Holy Trinity. We'll be celebrating the Feast of the Holy Trinity in 2 weeks. And what we celebrate on the Feast of the Holy Trinity is that the one God is at the same time three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in the very heart of God, we have a community of love, the Father loving the Son loving the Father and the Son loving the Holy Spirit. And we're told by Jesus in this prayer that he wants us to become one as he and the Father are one. That's an extraordinary unity in the life of the church, because Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one in love, but also one in mind. And it's important that we as a community care for one another, that we're one in our hearts, but we also have to have in our mind the mind of Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, I gave them your word, and the world hated them because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. And so Jesus prayed that we would be consecrated in the truth. To consecrate means to be set aside, to be made holy, to become a part of God's responsibility. So it's very important for us, if we're going to be the church, to love the truth and proclaim the truth and live the truth in our lives, to be missionaries of God's truth. But the problem is, if we do that, the world around us will hate us, Jesus says. Because although we're in the world, our minds are not supposed to be of the world. We're supposed to think and live our lives differently than the world around us. Now, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, this sounded like nice theory for us who are Catholics, because we lived in a culture that basically was the same. It was kind of a homogeneous Catholic culture in the United States, or Christian culture, not Catholic, generally Protestant, but nonetheless Christian. But in today's world, it's quite different. You know, we take a clear position with the church on issues like abortion, the world will hate us, right? If we take a clear position with the church on the meaning of marriage, which is a relationship between one woman and one man for the sake of children, it makes everybody mad. You know, we're seen as bigoted, prejudiced against people who think and who live differently than we do. And because of that, because we want to get along, we're sometimes willing to go along rather than to be consecrated to the truth, as Jesus calls us as a church, to be consecrated in the truth, and then to be sent into the world as missionaries of the truth to others. Do you have the courage to do that? Or are you timid in your faith? The early church was not timid. You know, one of the clear characteristics of the early church leadership is they all went to jail. You know, all the apostles went to jail at some time or another. I've never done that yet, So I must not be a very good successor to the apostles. But perhaps you aren't either, because we're not yet clearly dedicated and consecrated to the truth. So we have a long way to go to be the church that Jesus wants us to be. In the 9 days between the Feast of the Ascension and the Feast of Pentecost, which is next Sunday, the church has traditionally asked its members to enter into a novena. I don't know if the younger people among us know what a novena is, but us older folks do. It means 9 days of prayer, and it comes from this period between the Ascension and Pentecost, where the church gathered daily in the upper room and prayed for the coming of the Holy Spirit, the gift that was promised them by Jesus Christ. It's important for us to imitate the church and to do that today. So I ask you, every day of this week, between now and next Sunday, pray that the Holy Spirit will once again be clearly given to the church and to each of us who are members of the church, so that we, like Peter and the others, might have the courage to be faithful to Jesus' instruction, where he, in this gospel passage, sends us into the world as the Father sent him into the world. May the good Lord bring to reality that dimension of our church life.